Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, Junkies, on a football Monday on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you, as always, by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cakes Allville, and Jason Bishop. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, or Insider, to talk some Washington football, it's our pal Chris Russell, the Rooster. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Christopher.
Hey, hello, buddy. Rooster.
Hope everybody had a good weekend.
What were your expectations going into that game yesterday?
My expectations were that they would lose, but they would cover. And they didn't. They lost. and what did they double the number? What was the final?
A little
number?
More
six
than
and a
that.
Half, seven, whatever it was.
Yeah. Somewhere in that range, depending on when you looked and where you looked.
Yeah, I said all week, I thought maybe a backdoor cover, maybe they would be down by like 10, last 2 minutes of the game, and they would put together a late scoring drive, that type of thing. I didn't think it would be ultra super close. I was fully expecting a loss. But in fairness to me, I did pick them to win last week against the Eagles when everybody was picking them to lose. So, I didn't think I was being really negative. I just had a healthy respect for not only Kyler and DeAndre Hopkins and Kenyon Drake and Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, but also that defense. And I thought where it would really, really be a problem is Dwayne and the limited offensive options versus a pretty good defense. It's not a great defense, but it's a much better defense than I think what we saw in Arizona 2 years ago when Alex Smith and Adrian Peterson opened up against them. You got some studs. You got some horses on that side of the ball, and this offense is not equipped and certainly not equipped to come back from 17-20 nothing down. I mean, you could say that until the cows come home. Certainly not equipped to turn over the ball, as Ron just said during Earl's update, and certainly not equipped to shoot themselves in the foot in any way, sort of, turnovers. And God, the special teams mistakes right from the get-go. It cost them 20 yards of field position, and it led to a, less than a half field drive for Kyler Murray. You can't do that and expect to win or compete. You can't do it, period.
Rooster, your tweet from about 14 hours ago at WrestleMania621 made me chuckle. Kyler Murray just carving up the Washington NFL defense. I can't believe I thought Haskins was going to be better than him.
Yeah.
Good Lord, was I wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, you
and look, Kyler Murray's a special talent.
Yeah.
We see him ascending. I don't think he's going to win the MVP this year if Russell Wilson continues doing what he's doing. I know it's early, but he's clearly a special talent, and you see why they parted with Josh Rosen to bring him in.
I was so wrong. I mean, I've probably never been more wrong in my life, and I've been wrong a lot. If I was going to MGM or whatever, I'd be bankrupt at this point with that bet. Here's why I thought Dwayne had, and this was again pre-draft. Okay, this was even before he wound up with the Washington team. So this was not like, you guys know me, I'm not a homer. Dwayne was really accurate in college, and he's not in the NFL. And I haven't been able to quite figure that out. We all knew that Kyler was fast. We all knew that Kyler had a rocket for an arm. I didn't think they would be able to protect him. I didn't think he would be able to protect himself. And yet here I am, 18 games into his career, and he protects himself so far, like Russell Wilson does. And I make that comparison. Now, obviously, there's some similarities, deep ball accuracy, running around, making plays, Houdini, but Russell Wilson doesn't get hurt. He started 130 games out of 130 games in his NFL career. I have no idea if that's going to be Kyler Murray, but I didn't think Kyler Murray was going to make it out of his rookie year without getting hurt. So, and instead it was Haskins that got hurt. And we all know, again, Haskins' inability to be accurate consistently. I mean, the throw that drove me crazy yesterday, I don't know about you guys, it was like a third and two, and he throws one in the dirt for Dontrell Inman.
Yeah.
And he's open. You got to make that throw. You cannot not make that throw, period. So I was dead wrong. I'll eat it. Maybe he'll prove me right in the end, but it's not looking good right now.
Well, I threw this question out to Bick because Bick said that this is a must-win week for Cleveland, against Cleveland. He also said that he can see over the and would like to see if this team struggles and Dwayne doesn't improve over the next month, that he doesn't have a problem going to Kyle Allen. So I threw this out there. If they look as bad in the first half Sunday against Cleveland as they did this past week, okay, it doesn't mean he's going to lose his starting job, but
right.
Would you have a, and they're down 17-0 at the half, would you have an issue going to Kyle Allen in the second half?
I still think if they look as pathetically bad in the first half, I still think it's a little bit too early.
Okay.
Jason, I need to see a full month of games first, and maybe that's unfair, maybe that's wrong, but with no preseason, no OTAs, I know we've talked about this over and over again. Some people think it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal, especially in a new offense with a young quarterback and a young team. So to me, I think, you know, Ron preached last night. The reason why I didn't call timeouts is because I don't want to get guys injured, and because we have a young team, and young teams make mistakes, and we have to grow, and we have a young team, a young team, young team, young team. Well, if you're going to have that mentality, right, and if that's going to be your mentality, if that's going to be your philosophy, I'm good with that. But then make sure you have the patience in all areas to match it. And what I mean by that is pulling him at halftime next week if things aren't going well in Cleveland – week three with all of the factors that we just mentioned, to me, is a little bit impatient. Maybe if we're talking week four against Baltimore, week five against the Rams, and things have not improved except for in garbage time like they did yesterday, okay, I can live with that. I think week three at halftime would be a little bit too early,
Why are they getting off to such slow starts?
Well, you know, Ron said yesterday turnovers, which he was right about yesterday, not right about week one because they didn't turn the ball over. So turnovers are obviously a part of it, but the biggest factor is they can't convert on third down, in my opinion. And again, I gave you the Inman throw, third and two. It's at his ankles and it's in the dirt, and Dwayne's under a little bit of pressure, and you got to make that throw, period. That was a huge moment in the game. They were 28% on third down last week. They were 33% this week. If you can't sustain offensive drives, you're putting your defense, as good, as talented as it is up front, in peril, and you're also, you're giving the opponent extra drives and extra opportunities to score, right? So to me, that's the number one thing. The number two thing, and this is going to drive some people crazy, but I'm just going to say it because, damn it, I'm the rooster and I can have an opinion, even if I'm wrong. JP always ribs me about my love for J.D. McKissic, right? And we saw a little bit of what I love about McKissic yesterday. He pops off an 8-yard run for a first down yesterday in, I think it was a 10-0 game, I want to say, roughly.
Yeah.
And they get the first down, and then they go, 1, 2, 3, pass, pass, pass. And it's a horrible looking pass set for three downs in a row and ending in a third down sack. And boom, they punt away. And now all of a sudden you have something cooking and something into nothing. And I think coaches sometimes fall in love with this whole, we've got to move the ball and we've got to get chunk yards and we've got to be aggressive and we've got to, well, not if your quarterback is not good enough. Not if your offensive line stinks. That's the problem.
By the way, you mentioned third down conversion, and I'm sure you know this, but Washington is dead last in third down conversion.
Yeah, I think, Jason, I might be wrong on the numbers. I think it was 33% last night and 28% week one, whatever it is. They were horrible last year on third down, you know? And so these first two games are I don't want to say a complete opposite of what they were like under Jay Gruden, because there were times where they got blitzed from the start, right? But in a lot of the Jay Gruden era, this is my sense, and I think numbers would prove me, they usually would start off strong and wilt like, you know, a hot ice cream or a hot vanilla ice cream on a hot summer Sunday.
There
you know,
go. There you go.
There you go. I always screw that up. So I'm going a million miles a minute here, guys. Sorry. So, you know, they would always do that. Well, under Ron, so far through two games, I mean, obviously we saw the resiliency in week one, and then we saw a little bit of pulse yesterday. But this all, here's what I know. I don't know how the rest of the Ron Rivera era is going to go. Here's what I know. This offense ain't built to come back from 14-0 down, 17-0 down. And I said 14-0 yesterday. I said, some people are going to say 17-0. They got them right where they were. No, they don't, because Arizona's a better offense than Philadelphia. Of course, it's opponent dependent, but you do not want to put yourself in any sort of hole consistently like this, double digits, before you wake up and smell the coffee.
Chris, let's get to the other side of the ball. So they cleared out three of the guys from the secondary last year. There's no Josh Norman to blame, no Montaigne Nicholson, no Quentin Dunbar. It's a new secondary. It's bad.
It's not good. It showed some signs of life last week in some spots, especially when they changed up the coverage. Yesterday was awful. I mean, we can all go back to the first touchdown. DeAndre Hopkins obviously splitting Fabian Moreau and Landon Collins. Ron said their system is that they read breaks off the line of scrimmage a certain way, and one player thought one thing and another player thought another thing, and that's what led to that. We don't know exactly if it was Landon or if it was Moore or Fabian, but it looked in my somewhat trained eye to be more on Landon. Ronald Darby, who was, and this is again why you have to always be careful with training camp, right? Especially with no preseason. But even if you had a preseason, Ronald Darby looked great, guys, in training camp. He's now been beat for 50 plus yard passes by two number three receivers in Jalen Reagor. Yes, a first round pick, but a rookie. And yesterday, Christian Kirk. And then Troy Apke has, you know, obviously looked really, 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 really bad. And what's weird about Troy Apke is he hit everything in camp, everything. And now he seems afraid to hit. And I understand Kyler Murray is Kyler Murray. But then also, where was the deep speed on the one long ball that he split Moreland and Apke on? I mean, you know, it was like, oh, wait, he's behind me. Oh, now I'm going to start to run. Well, he's out there largely because he can run like the wind. And he was slow and reacting. And he was very raw. You know, Jason, you watch a lot of Big Ten football. I mean, at Penn State, he was like, people were really not happy with Washington for taking him over the other Penn State safety. He was really raw, but they loved him because of his speed and special teams. And then we saw some of that during training camp. We saw glimpses of it last year. It's not translating through two games, I can tell you that. So right now, yeah, they're a mess. And the communication problems, which was a huge problem under Josh Norman, who sucked. you know,
you're correct.
Yeah, and Monte Nicholson, by the way. It wasn't just Josh Norman. I mean, right, both of them were, you know, dip and stick, you know, Batman and Robin, whatever you want to call them. They sucked. They wanted nothing to do with being here. They didn't try hard. But, you know, these guys are going to try hard. And Jack Del Rio is a better coach than what they had here and the rest of the coaching staff. It doesn't mean it's going to be fixed overnight.
Rooster, always love having you on. That's Chris Russell, our insider for the Washington football team. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Football Monday, you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan on a football Monday. Been talking a ton about the Washington football team's loss to the Arizona Cardinals, but earlier we did go around the league, and we only had really a minute to talk about the Seahawks' win over New England, and the Seahawks are obviously off to a good start. Russell Wilson's got 9 touchdowns, but I want to talk about Cam Newton because you know I'm a Cam guy, and Cam, I felt, got disrespected this offseason. Nobody wanted to bring Cam in. And part of that was because of the injuries, and he hadn't remained healthy. But he is balling in New England. Now, he doesn't have the gaudy passing touchdown total, but when you look at what Cam's done, he's 8th in the league in passing yards. So he hooked up with Edelman a ton yesterday, and if you watch the game, great passes. You know what I mean? Like, he's not known for being the most accurate passer, but I think it was Julian Edelman's biggest regular season day ever. So he was hooking up with Edelman downfield early and often in the game. But what has always separated Cam Newton from most of the rest of the league is his ability to run the football. Mm-hmm. In week one against Miami, 15 carries for 75 yards, which is a 5 yard per carry average for 2 touchdowns. Yesterday, 11 more carries for 47 yards and 2 more scores.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. They got a steal. They lost Tom Brady, but they got a steal in Cam Newton.
Yeah, yeah, credit Bill Belichick and that staff for realizing, hey, we can bring this guy in, and as long as he stays healthy, we'll construct an offense around his strengths, and we'll make it work. And through 2 games, it's working.
Let's see how it works.
And to me,
I mean, it's 2 out of 16, and they're 1-1, and not 2-0. They're 1-1. So let's see how it progresses.
You sound like you're not a believer, Jason.
No, I mean, it is what it is. I see the numbers.
He's never been high on Cam.
Yeah.
I'd like, in his prime, he was really, really good. I'm just not a big fan of his, the way he handles the media, especially after losses. I think he's all about Cam, but maybe he's different now in New England. But, it's just easy to judge him after what he's done the first couple of weeks. But let's see what their record is, you know, after 10.
Understood, but
I think it'll be decent.
There was a lot of curiosity. How was it going to work? Again, nobody really wanted him in the offseason. Even the Patriots waited a while, right? Everybody thought that he might be a good fit after Brady left for Tampa, but they waited a while. Nobody in the league wanted him. Signed him to, for most quarterbacks, a low-money deal. I'm bringing this up. It's maybe an outside chance, but he could be in play for the Washington football team again, because depending on what happens, let's just say they want to move on from Haskins. They don't have to do it via the draft. They might say, Ron Rivera might say, you know, the reason why I didn't want to bring him here is I wanted to see what Haskins had. I also didn't know if Cam was going to be healthy. Let's say Cam proves to be healthy. Ron might want to bring him back because this team's going to have so many offensive holes to address. They might want the stud offensive lineman with their top pick. They might want to bring in a stud receiver with their top pick to complement Terry McLaurin. It's not like this team isn't going to have a bunch of holes to fill, particularly offensively.
But if
long
he plays
to
that level, if he plays to the level he's played so far, then New England's going to want to keep him. Other suitors will step forward that will want to sign him. So I don't think it's just a given that he would come here to Washington.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, he may be tough to pry away from New England if he has a really good year.
Well, and also, I mean, how old is he now? He's not going to – he's 31. I mean, certainly, you know, he could have a few more good years, but
– have several more good years.
Yeah. 32 next year.
Look at the quarterbacks in the league. Look at Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. And I mean, there's so many guys who are older than 31. 31 for a quarterback is
– But with his style of play, he's not going to play until he's 40. I don't see it.
Probably not.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm over the Cam thing. I think he's great. I think he's going to do a great job with the Patriots.
I don't think Cam is an option here.
But I don't think he's an option here either. Like, I think if the Haskins thing after 16 games looks like it's obvious that he's just too much of a project, I don't want to bring in a guy like on his third team, just kind of, you know,
just looking for
playing
a big payday.
Out the string. Yeah, no, I'm not interested in that. I'd rather get a younger guy
playing out the string. I think Cam Newton's got a good 5 years left in him.
I think in the right system, but this is a you know,
correct,
we're in a
the
rebuild.
Right system, but that's the thing. Josh McDaniels, to his credit, they understand when Cam has had success, it's because he's run the football. There are those statistics which are obvious. When he has more than, I think it's 8 carries per game, his teams win like 65% of those games. When it's less than that, it is down like
80%. Got much better team around him and much better coaches than we do. We are a rebuild.
Yeah.
And you just throw Cam in here, I just think it's just like a weird piece.
I would just keep it in the back of your mind, because as we've seen through 2 weeks, this team is offensively challenged. And if they decide they need a new quarterback, they're going to – maybe they draft them, but they might want to do it via free agency. Because you're going to need it to help your offensive line. That's painfully obvious.
I think
maybe, you know, we talked to John Keim earlier, insider from ESPN.com. He said he sees Sadiq Charles being an answer at one of those two spots, either left tackle or left guard. But we've yet to see it. I'm just saying they might have to draft an offensive lineman.
No, they do. They need to draft an offensive lineman. They need to draft a receiver. And they need to draft a real
maybe
tight
a quarterback.
And maybe a
maybe
tight
a quarterback.
End.
And a corner. And maybe a safety.
Yeah.
They have a lot of holes to fill.
Yes.
But again, look, this is a 5-year deal, maybe 6, whatever it is for Rivera. You know, if they look as bad in year 3 as they are now, then obviously the team's got to go in a different direction. But let's see how they build on each week, on each year.
The thing is if they had just lost because Kyler is just, you know, really special, and he's going to be at the quarter pole. He's going to be the MVP that Donk from Bleacher Report said. Well, then maybe you can write it off. But they're not getting enough production offensively to feel very confident, you know. I thought that the defense would lead the team and keep them in games, but the offense has got to do something. They got to do something on their end.
They better get better.
It looks as bad as it did last year. And last year, it was bad. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, you can call us on the AAA Always On Call listener line. But the Washington football team offense looks equally as bad as it did a year ago.
Yeah, I was okay with getting rid of AP, but maybe I was wrong, because they don't have, like, an anchor back. Like, you see flashes from Gibson, like he's got the acceleration and he's got some wiggle to him and all that, but he still doesn't look like he's that comfortable, you know, as a back. It doesn't necessarily.
He's learning.
He's still
learning
the position.
He's legitimately learning. He's a wide receiver.
And part of the reason he doesn't look comfortable is he has a subpar offensive line in front of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's clearly a huge influence on why
it is.
He hasn't really broken out.
But don't you think McKissick looks more comfortable with the ball? McKissick looks like he hits the hole quicker and he just looks more comfortable. He does
maybe
to me.
Maybe a little bit. I mean, I don't think it's stark. I think McKissick's more of a, like, pass-catching back, but he really hasn't done that much through 2 games. I'm a little bit stunned by the lack of running backs in the passing game so far.
I'm surprised.
I mean, one catch between Gibson and McKissick yesterday, I believe it was for -3 yards.
Yeah.
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 It's a little surprising to me.
But again, McKissick's got a lot more experience at that position. He just knows kind of what to do.
He just looks more comfortable to me than than Gibson. Gibson looks like he's got all the talent in the world, but it's like hit or miss, all or nothing.
I don't think he's ever had a season in his career where he's had even 50 carries on the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's still his position. I mean, that's what he practices. That's how he was drafted. He came out of a small school, and that's where he played. He's always been a running back.
Right. And Haskins,
it's kind of tough to compare the two.
You know, it's hard. It really is hard to evaluate Haskins when he doesn't have that much time. He seems to be better. You know, like, kind of like Kirk, like 1-2-3, boom, throw that slant. You know that kind of thing. But when he's like pitter pattering in the pocket, trying to find, I like that he looks downfield. He looks like he's going through his progressions, but then he seems to like rifle the ball. Doesn't put like enough air underneath it at times. Doesn't seem to have the real natural touch.
But you're right about the quick game because I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name, or I guess it's a female. Nikki Tabala put up some stats on throws less than 2 seconds. So when he's getting out of the ball out of his hands quickly, he's ninth in the league, 17 for 18. Passing yards, he's first. Passing touchdowns, tied for first. Passer rating, when he gets rid of the ball in less than 2 seconds, 142.4. That's third. But then when he holds on to the ball more than 2 seconds, completion percentage, 33rd in the league. Passing yards, 25th in the league. Passer rating, 33rd in the league.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, when he does like that Kirk thing, 1-2-3, boom, just hit it on a timing route,
right,
he's good. But when he maybe the longer developing plays, A, the line's not giving him time, and B, you can see he's kind of pitter-pattering with his footwork, and things aren't all quite lined up, and the accuracy goes way out the window. It just does. He's a project. He's exactly what Jay Gruden said he was.
That's why Jay Gruden didn't really want him.
Yeah, he was a project.
Only one guy really wanted him. Well, maybe two.
Yeah.
Well, but one of those guys is gone.
To be fair, I don't even think it's fair on Jay. Jay knew that he was fighting for his job, so he didn't, you know,
right,
in terms of a big picture thing, he didn't care about.
Right.
The
That's
big
why he had no
thing.
Interest in playing and or developing him.
It was going to be very difficult to win with him that he was a project.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the bottom
Which
line.
I'm telling you, I mean, it's an old argument. I was the only one who was pro-Cam, to bring it back to Cam Newton, in terms of the Washington football team considering bringing him in. And this was, look, I understand there were financial implications. They're still paying Alex Smith, and they had all these guys under contract. But my point is, if you're good enough, you beat a guy out. So the argument against bringing in Cam was, well, we got to see him develop. Well, to me, if you're really going to be a good starter in the league, you would beat the guy out.
All right, but hold up. They didn't have that luxury, even financially, to have Cam as the backup.
No, my point is Cam probably would have been the starter. And when Haskins is ready, he beats him out.
Of course he
would. And then you have a better starter.
Well, I don't know when he would beat him out. When's he going to beat him out?
Right,
four years?
He never beat him out, which is my point.
Yeah, but they didn't have the luxury.
If he never beats him out, then he's not worth it.
They don't have the luxury of it. They're paying a guy $20 million in a T-shirt, boot.
It's the past anyway. I'm just saying I would leave that as an option open for the future because Cam's balling out right now. You're right. It could change. He could get hurt. He might end up playing poorly. But I think Josh McDaniels and the Patriots watching that game, and Drab, you can talk about it because you're watching it from the Seahawks perspective. I think that they are maximizing his ability. Josh McDaniels knows
I said
that
they
running
would.
Is part of it.
I told you they were going to do that.
Well, they also know how to do that. Their system allows them to maximize his ability. I mean,
Ron Rivera does it.
Did you think he was going to punch it in on that?
I don't know if Scott Turner does.
Well, Ron Rivera would tell him exactly how to use him.
Well, you know what? I don't know if they're on the same page now.
Yeah, I think they're not.
Drab, as a Seahawks fan, what were you thinking there on that last drive?
Well, I thought for sure Cam Newton was going to walk into the end zone like he had done numerous times in the game.
Well, I'm glad he didn't.
By the way, he made good throws. You can tell these guys. He made good throws on that drive.
They look like Cam Newton from 2013.
Right.
Or 15. I mean, whatever his MVP was. He was balling.
Yeah.
So. He's making himself a lot of cash this year if he keeps playing like that.
Well, what's his deal? Didn't he sign a minimum contract?
A one-year deal.
One-year
I think
deal.
It's like
for $1 million or something?
No, I think it's higher than that. I think his base
think
is around
get as
five.
High as eight.
I think he can make around eight.
I thought his base was like $1 million.
No, I think it's higher than that. I'll check it. I think it's like five-ish. And
it is a $1.05 million in base salary. Literally the lowest possible amount for a veteran who's been in the league as long as him.
It's crazy.
According to this story.
Now, yeah, it can pay out big if he keeps playing like he's doing, but how did no one else call? How did he sit on the couch for 6 months?
Well, I think it's pretty telling, right? I mean, who knows him better than Ron Rivera? Nobody.
Don't you put stock in that?
Ron inherited a number one pick who he didn't know that much about. And you had health issues with Cam.
Yeah, but he brought in Cam's backup. He didn't even bring in Cam.
Right.
He brought in his backup.
Yeah. Look, there's a reason he didn't bring him in. It's not because he wanted to develop a young quarterback. It's not because, you know, his boss told him that we have to play Dwayne. There's a reason. And I think it's personality related. There's a reason he didn't bring him in.
Maybe he just wanted out of the Cam Newton business.
I think he wanted out of the
Cam
Newton business.
He had enough of it.
Yeah. Okay, but he's in a worse business right
now. Oh, he's in a worse business right now.
Yeah, but you know what Ron has? You know what Ron has? Flexibility. Right. He's got wiggle room.
Yeah.
It's his first year. He's not going anywhere. He's not Jay Gruden where he's been here 5 years and he has to win. He's got wiggle room.
Well,
it might not involve Dwayne in the future, but he's got wiggle.
Right. Well, I think this week is going to be very telling. Like I say, it's early, but to me, this is a must win. This is an absolute must win because you know you have the Ravens. You're not going to beat them. It'd take a miracle. Like I
and then
don't
the
even
Rams,
that
offensive line's going to face Aaron Donald.
You're not going to win the next two. So I mean, if you want to have any hopes of being somewhat competitive and this thing not going in, if they lose tomorrow, they will be
1-4.
1-4. Right.
And that's where.
And that's when things start to get hairy.
Right.
Correct. That's when fans start getting upset. That's when players start getting upset. Mm-hmm. That's when coaches start feeling the heat. That's when Dan starts sending ice cream, to the D coordinator.
Del Rio would get Rick.
Yeah.
If there's 5 gallons of melting vanilla ice cream on his desk.
Right.
Oh, he'd be salty.
That happens if they lose this week.
And that's why, I think they will lose this week. And I think they'll drop to 1-4. And that's why I think ultimately Haskins is going to be pulled as the starter.
Because he might be, but
if you have a terrible record, eventually you're going to change. It might not be at 1-4. It could be at 1-5 or 1-6 or 2-7.
They might pull them after the Cowboy game.
Yeah.
So if they lose this week, I mean, I bet everything I own the Ravens will beat them, and then the Rams will probably beat them, and then the let's just say they lose the Giants, lose the Cowboys. That's when he gets pulled.
Oh yeah,
that's when he gets pulled.
Right. Yeah.
I hope he understands. He's got to improve.
He's got to flash. He's got to flash.
And I feel bad because it's a new system. He's got no line, and he's only got one receiver that gets open consistently.
Well, if he's got
no running game.
Yeah, if you're 1-4.
That is true.
If Ron's 1-4 and he has to pull Dwayne, he goes to Kyle, then you're realistically, you're looking at 3, maybe 4 wins. And then you're looking at a possible number one overall pick.
I'm saying they pull him for the second Giants game. That's where I see it. I don't see it before that, but I'd say – 1-4. I mean, they know they're going to lose to the Ravens.
But
they know
change.
That.
But they know they're going to lose to the Ravens. All of us say this though. Even if they were to lose to the Browns, if he has like a 3-touchdown performance, then that changes things. He just has to play better, and the pressure is going to increase week in and week out. So he's got no interceptions on his ledger right now, but just 2 touchdowns, 400 yards. If he has a game where he shows you something, when he gives you more flashes, I keep bringing up Justin Herbert. I mean. You, if you're a Chargers fan, you saw that and you had to have been encouraged, right, about the future.
Yeah.
So you just need to see more consistent flashes from Dwayne Haskins, which we saw last year in that last game and a half when he was on the field. We saw it from Dwayne Haskins. It's in there. He just has to do it more consistently.
Well, especially soon.
And especially in the first half, because in the first halves of 4 quarters so far, they've got, what, total of 7 points?
7 points, and that was off the short field after the Fabian Moreau interception against the Eagles.
They better not be down 17-3 or 21-3 against Cleveland.
They've got to find a way to make some first downs.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, coming up next, we'll give you a chance to win a copy of NBA 2K21. We'll play the morning matchup if you want to call in now, 800-636-1067. You can call us on the AAA Always On Call listener line. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
The This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Dwayne Haskins play to the defense. They take on the Cleveland Browns next.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland coming off a really good performance on Thursday night.
Yeah, they needed it too.
The one thing I'll say is you can get Baker to turn the ball over. I think you can get to Baker, but they just have so many weapons. I'd be, as a Washington football fan, terrified about the secondary against Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry and Austin Hooper. And Njoku's on the IR, by the way. Watched that.
Don't forget Kareem Hunt catching balls out of the backfield. He's certainly a weapon that they have utilized.
All that being said, it's going to be a little bit easier than it was against the Cardinals.
It should be. You don't have the Kyler Murray threat.
The Kyler Murray factor is huge.
Yeah.
They don't have that. Although Baker can move. There's no question
about
it.
Well, except that they have Chubb and Hunt. And that'll be the best 1-2 combo they face all year, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's a must win. I'm sorry. It's a must win.
You know, as good as those guys are, it's not like Washington football is not going to play Zeke. He may not have a number two.
Everybody has weapons. Yeah. Every week we could hype up everybody's weapons.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's a different challenge this week.
Yeah. I think it'll be a little easier. Because Kyler really is good. And back to the tape. I wanted to trade all my picks for Kyler. I would have done anything. Because you could have anything you want for Kyler.
Right.
All right, we're going to do box score breakdown here in a moment. If you want to partake in the game, 800-636-1067. This isn't who I'm using for the box score breakdown. But did you actually see Dak Prescott's final line yesterday?
Yes.
It was absurd.
Yeah.
He had three rushing touchdowns. Rushing touchdowns, and he threw for 450 yards.
I wonder what his fantasy number was yesterday. It had to be in the 50s.
Oh, it was a big one.
You know what I'm distraught about? It's clear that CeeDee Lamb is better than Michael Gallup.
And he's
a
stud.
Michael Gallup on a couple of my fantasy
Gallup
teams.
Is pretty good, but CeeDee Lamb might be the next stud. And with Jarwin going out, he's just going to get more snaps. And their backup tight end, by the way, had a nice game. Dalton Schultz.
Yeah. Well, Dallas just has to figure out how to stop people.
Right.
And they've got two key injuries at linebacker. I'm not sure what they have in the secondary, but they can't stop anybody.
By the way, on another side.
So
note,
if they got to score 40 a week, it's going to be a long year. 40 a week to beat teams is going to be a long year.
Do you think Kirk misses Stephon Diggs, who had four catches of 20-plus yards in yesterday's game against the Dolphins?
Yes.
I know Diggs doesn't miss him. I know that.
He probably does not.
I know that for sure. All right, you want to do the box score breakdown here?
By the way, the weather this past weekend was an A++++++.
Really nice. It was outside
weekend. I'll take 65 to 68 and sunny all day long.
Although I think I want to get a heater. If anybody has a recommendation for an outdoor heater, send me it on EB Junkies. I need one.
All right. Should I make it hard or easy? Or
hook them.
Who cares?
Up.
Whatever
hook
you want.
Listeners.
Okay. All right, let's go to, is it Aiken, line three? Aiken.
Oh, yeah, it's Aiken.
I'm sorry. How are you, buddy?
All right,
Aiken.
All righty, yo.
We will hook you at the prize if you can figure out who I'm talking about based on their box score. This running back carried the ball 18 times for 168 yards and two touchdowns, also had four catches for 68 yards and another score yesterday.
I know who that is.
Monster day.
Who is that?
Monster.
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, you don't know. You don't.
All right. Thank you, Akin.
Should I give you one of the next? Come up with another nugget? Or
no,
just
no. Let's see if the next
call.
Person knows.
Well, they've Googled by now. All right. Josh Alexandria, line two.
Hey,
Josh.
How you doing?
Hey,
what's
Josh.
What's up?
Same question or what?
Yeah, same question. What running back had 18 carries for a 168 and two touchdowns, also had four catches for 68 yards and another score?
Are you a fantasy guy, Josh? Probably
yeah,
not.
I'm a fantasy guy. I got burned last night by Edelman. He was on the flex. It was winning.
Right.
I was wrapping it up.
He killed you.
Edelman put a beating on me.
I'll give you a hint. Yeah, this running back went
you
to Utah.
Give him a hint. He didn't deserve it.
You think he knows it?
You should have been listening to the Blitz at 8 o'clock.
He went to UTEP.
Who's next?
All right. Let's go to Travis.
Now they
one.
Definitely could have Googled it, EB.
Yeah.
What's up, Junk?
What's up,
Travis?
Do you know the running back that we're talking about that found the end zone three times, twice running, ran for a 168, and also had four receptions with another score?
Man, Google is working. I would have known. Sorry, guys.
Travis, how do you not?
I thought this was easy, Cakes. Didn't you think it was easy?
Yes, this is a layup.
All right, why don't we just do this? It's Aaron Jones. We'll do caller 10, 800-636-1067.
That was a big swing and a miss.
Aaron Jones from the Packers. We'll hook you up with a copy of NBA 2K21 if you're the 10th caller this year. My players will start in high school, then go to one of 10 officially licensed colleges, and then on to NBA stardom. NBA 2K21, everything is game. Out now on Xbox One, PS4, Nintendo Switch, PC and Stadia, courtesy of Got Game.
I guarantee you, if any of those callers were looking at their fantasy game tracker on their phone or their laptop, and they saw Aaron Jones's pinball-type numbers just racking up, they would have known the answer if they were facing him yesterday.
Which of the 2-0 teams are you not buying into yet? Or are you buying into all the 2-0 teams? So the teams that have started 2-0 so far include the Seahawks, Rams, and Cardinals in the NFC West. You've got Green Bay and Chicago.
Ding, Chicago.
There you go.
That's fine.
That's easy.
For sure, that's easy.
And what about the 0-2 teams that you would say have a shot, like the Vikings or the Texans? A lot of us pick them
Texans.
For the playoffs.
I think the Texans are better than
that. You
think
they can fight back? What
they
about
might.
The
I mean, they did face the Chiefs and the Ravens the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a little bit brutal.
What about the Eagles or the Lions? Any chance?
No.
The Lions poop. The Eagles could be a
too
factor
many injuries.
In the poopy NFC East.
Too many. They've got as many offensive line problems as Washington.
Yeah.
Denver's not going to be any good. It's got to be Houston.
If you start off 0-2, I think you have a 12% chance to make it to the playoffs.
Right.
But Houston might be worse because they lost their top receiving threat.
Right.
Might not be as good.
Remember the Giants did it. The Giants gave up like 80 points that 1 year
in the first two weeks.
And then they went on a friggin' tear.
Well, they had Michael Strahan. He was a monster that year.
Yeah. Won the whole jam.
But it's must week.
It's a must win.
Must win week.
I know you're goofing on me. Do you argue with me? If you want to have any shot at being competitive in your division this year, you have to win this week.
Well, you certainly got to win division games.
Well, we'll be talking about it all week long. We got to get out of here. For EB, Cakes, Bish, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grant Danny up next, right here on The Fan.
Boo!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.